Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, we've reached the final Game Time episode of the season, and we've saved the best for last. It's the state softball tournament. Nate and I will take you inside the circle to dissect the brackets in Class AA, A, and B. All that coming up next on Game Time.
It's all about the state softball tournaments this week here on Game Time. Special edition as we preview all three tournaments. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera.
I love softball, by the way. Track is great. Basketball, of course, is awesome. Football, one of the best. But there's something about softball, just the way these teams are out on the field, sweating it out and playing 3 days, three games, seeing what comes up as the state championship.
So how it's going to work this week here on Thursday when it starts, Class A, Class B are going to be taking place from the Players Complex in Aberdeen. Class AA will be held at Augustana University. So it's kind of spread out. You know, you got, 16 teams up in Aberdeen. You got eight in Sioux Falls. It's going to be a lot of fun, and there's a lot of teams, a lot of storylines that we're going to go over today. A
couple new teams that we haven't seen, and, of course, some traditional favorites have punched their ticket yet again. And that's what we're here for the next hour, to go through, half hour, to go through all of these teams and let you know what to expect in the next 3 days.
All right, so we're going to start first with Class B. The number one seed is a team that's familiar with being in the state tournament as far as in the sanctioned era of high school softball. Number one seeded Castlewood.
Four seasons of sanctioned softball, four state tournaments for Castlewood. They have been a power this year, but of all the seasons they've been to the state tournament, this season they have the best record. With just four losses on the season, this has been the record that they've really tried to put together. And they've been a power in Class B. They lost a couple of games outside of their class, but they've been really sharp ever since, you know, that first month of the season.
Yeah, and Craig Horn has done a fabulous job with this squad. What he's been able to create, you know, there's a state championship in there, too, through this. And then his daughter, Claire Horn, who is a sophomore pitcher, started pitching in the state tournament when she was a seventh grader. So she's making her fourth state tournament appearance as a sophomore from the mound. And, I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
I got to imagine a lot of the career numbers in the state tournament are going to belong to Claire Horn before it's done. But what a season for her as a sophomore, 106 and a third innings, 139 strikeouts. And despite the tough schedule where they're playing some of those Class A teams, still an ERA right around 3.5. So that gives them a lot of confidence, having a player like that who can go shut down an offense.
Yeah, she's absolutely terrific. And then when you look at the lineup too, Jandy, I mean, there's some bats in this lineup as well.
Yeah, Sydney Curtin is a 600 hitter with five homers on the season. The top four hitters in this lineup, all hitting 500 or better. And again, like I said, they played a pretty competitive Class B and Class A schedule. So these numbers are legit.
Yeah, good team in Castlewood. Craig Horn has done a fabulous job. And then you got the number two seed. It's McCook Central Montrose, a team that, you know, maybe hasn't been talked about a lot when it comes to softball in recent years, but boy, this team looks good this year.
They look really good. Early in the year, had that loss to Baltic and then lost to Sioux Valley early on in a close one, but they were able to avenge that Sioux Valley loss later in the year, and they have now put together 14 wins in a row. And what I like is they've got a lot of young players contributing, but they've got two real key seniors who are getting the job done. And one of those, their senior pitcher in the circle, Zadie Halls, who's gone 77 innings so far this year, 57 strikeouts. And that's a good number of strikeouts, but she does pitch to contact. And this defense is really good. And I tell you what, I think there's two number one seeds in this tournament when you look at Castlewood and McCook Central. Just both teams have played a lot of Class A teams. A lot of teams have had success over the last month or so. I think it's hard to dissect which team is the favorite here. One of the more outstanding players in this tournament you're going to want to watch is Jocelyn Tropple of McCook Central Montrose, hitting over 700 right now. And, you know, hitting streak throughout the entire season. Has not been had a game where she's had a zero hit game, and 11 times this year has had a multi hit game. So kind of stuck in between all those good hitters in that lineup, she cleans up the house more than once a game.
All right, and then you got the number three seed. It's Florence Henry, 15-4 record on the year. Nick Morrison has done a great job with this squad.
This was one of those teams that I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but they really overshot what a lot of people thought they could do. Only losses were to Duel, Castlewood, Beersford, and West Central. We're talking about, you know, a defending state champ, the number one seed in Class B, and two Class A state qualifiers. So a really tough schedule. Even after the slow start, they really came down the stretch.
And then you got Elizabeth Reeder. She's one that, you know, Nick's talked about has been a player that has really seen a lot of growth throughout her career.
Yeah, she's matured.
Yep, and that's such a big thing. Really, that's what high school is all about, is growth, maturity, and that kind of thing. And I think she fits the mold perfectly with what she's been able to accomplish.
As she's gotten that experience, too, she doesn't get rattled in the circle. And at a state tournament, so important, because we've seen, you know, the stakes go up a little bit, and sometimes especially new pitchers get rattled after they get hit a little bit. She's not the type of player that is quite as suspect to that. So love Elizabeth Reeder in that lineup, and or at the in the circle, and then in the lineup, a really strong top half of the lineup, and the second half of that lineup is really improved through the last part of this season.
Yeah, four batters are averaging over 300 with an average this year. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, this is a team that can hurt you both ways. This is a real contender in Florence Henry.
All right, and then we got another contender, the four seed, 18-4 on the year. Jesse Kampshoff has done a tremendous job with this squad. Losses to Castlewood, Scotland Menno, Sioux Valley, A school, and then McCook Central Montrose, who's the two seed. So you look at the resume of losses as well, and this is a team, too, that you got to look out for.
They didn't start the way they wanted to, but again, a team that's playing well down the stretch. Three seniors on this team and three eighth graders in the starting lineup. So it's kind of fun to see that experience. And then those seniors to be able to help those really talented eighth graders overachieve in this young of their career. So, you know, I think they played a tournament late in the season against a bunch of A schools, and that really gave this team some confidence. Hanson's coming into this thing hot.
And then J.C. Schoenrock, their pitcher, 133 strikeouts. I mean, tremendous.
She's pitched every single inning so far this year for the team, and more strikeouts than innings pitched. She is one of the power pitchers in this class.
All right, and then you got Avon, the number five seed. They're back at the state tournament again. You know, Paul Kuhlman has done a great job with this Pirate squad. You know, this is a team, too, that has had some ups and downs. They're a team that has, you know, they've got players definitely that have that state tournament experience. You know, I honestly think we're going to see a little bit of a different Avon squad this year than we've seen in the past.
They weren't sure what they'd get from their pitching staff this year, but Cadence really did a great job of really pulling this together. And they knew right away after they saw her come out this spring and looking good that they had a chance because of that pitching. And then you add Riley Thury, one of the top hitters in all of Class B, hitting .553 on the season, 44 ribbies, and four homers.
And then you've got the sixth seed is Gayville Vollen. You got Redfield as the seven. And then you got Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy as the eight. And these teams, man, I tell you what, there's a little bit of a upset city with these three teams.
A week ago, those are three teams that had to go on the road and play in the SODAC 16. You know, were a little bit of a long shot to make it to state, and they did what it took at the right time. So Gabriel Vollen got a win over Chester. Redfield, a big win over Baltic, a sixth seed, and took them out. And then the 14 seed, Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy, they didn't back down, playing the defending champs in Duel, and they got a great game in the circle from their pitcher, Harley Ross, and she just threw a gem against Duel. And if she can do that, they can hang with any of these teams in Class B.
I was talking to Jeremy Waltner out of Freeman this past week. He does a lot of work with the Freeman paper, and he was at state track, obviously. And I asked him, I said, tell me about Freeman, Marion Freeman Academy softball. And he goes, they're not intimidated by anyone. And that right there, I mean, you look at what they did in the SODAC, and I 100% believe it. So as you can probably tell, Class B is all set up for a fantastic state tournament in softball this year. Class A, we got Madison, the top seed, first time they've been the top seed since the sanctioned era. And I don't know, you know, Katie Wheeldryer, what she's done this year, it's a 14-2 record. This team's just been, they've taken such a step forward from a year ago.
Their two worst games, they lost to West Central and Tri-Valley in a combined 4 runs that they lost by in those two games. So they have been showing up in a big way. I love what their pitchers bring. They've got a couple of different pitchers coming into the year. They were hoping that Aubrey Taubkin could do a lot of the pitching. She had an injury last year, was coming off that, so they needed another arm, and they've gotten it with Kelsey Dudley, who's put up a great year, pitching most of the innings for Madison. So that gives them a lot of confidence to know that they've got a couple pitchers that can get it done, and Evie Lertz has been tremendous as a leader on the field for them, and Kelsey Dudley is leading the team in hitting and just one of the great hitters on this team.
All right, and then you got number 2 seed Tri-Valley. What do we like about this team? You know, there's a lot that, you know, there's some good athletes on this team, a lot of athletes that have played a lot of different sports. I mean, it seems like one of the more athletic groups.
It is. It's a very athletic group, and just the rise that Tri-Valley's been on over the last few years has been extraordinary in the softball side. But this year, the best season that they've had in their school history. We got to talk about how many runs they're putting up. 13.3 runs per game. That shows how much work this team has put in, because they were not scoring double-digit runs last year at this time. A lot of work, and it's starting to really pay off.
13 runs a game. I mean, that is absolutely incredible. You know, that, and that's something, you know, with Tri-Valley coming into this tournament, you're going to face – it's a state tournament, right? So you're going to face a little bit better pitching on a regular basis. But when you have that confidence in your arsenal, it can do wonders for you. All right, and then you got the number 3 seed in Class A. It's Dakota Valley, the Panthers, led by Jason Anderson.
Only a couple losses this year for this team, and they've only lost to those top-level teams too. They get to the tournament, state tournament, year after year after year, and they're a threat. And this year – you know, Maddie Ryby, 446. She's small but mighty. She can really pop the ball and has been one of the best hitters in the class this year. She'll just outwork you. And that's what they love about her, Jason Anderson loves about her. But it's the entire lineup. And then the unique thing about this Dakota Valley team is they will pitch Emma Barnett and Annie Bourne, and they will mix them up throughout the game even. They'll switch them to keep hitters off pace and off balance.
All right, they got West Central. Heather Harden is the head coach there at West Central. West Central, the defending champs in Class A. And, you know, and going back a couple years ago, they were so close to winning a title then as well. And, you know, then they kind of had the redemption last year, and now they're back at the state tournament as the 4 seed.
Yeah, and Heather Harden's been coaching a long time. Even before it was sanctioned, West Central was winning title after title after title under Heather Harden. The competition level has gotten a little tougher, but they're still right at the top of the heap. They lost a lot from last year, so, you know, for them to be a 4 seed, that's already a big win for them. Their young pitching staff really gained some experience throughout the year and really feels like they've gotten through some tough situations, where Heather believes that, you know, they're ready for this state tournament experience now, where they might not have been just a couple months ago.
And I love the team motto there. Outwork yesterday. Yeah, that is such a good...
Especially for a traditional team like that, that just, you know, they're not depending on yesterday. This team is getting it done right now.
I just love it. And then you got Beersford. They're going to go, you know, West Central is the 4. They're going to face number 5 Beersford right out the gate on Thursday. Matt Storo, great guy, has done tremendous work there in Beersford. A 16-8 record for the Watchdogs this year. And when you look at their records against some of these other opponents. Okay, so they played a couple AA schools. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep, those were losses. They went 1-1. They played 2 North Dakota teams.
Yep.
And then they've also went 7-1 against Class B. I mean, this is a team that has played such a wide variety of different teams from all over the spectrum.
The schedule, like you said, they'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. defeated Tri-Valley, West Central, Lenox, Elk Point, Jefferson, a lot of state tournament teams they have experience beating. They've played 7 games against teams in the state, this class of state tournament. So that's an advantage to me, is that they've seen these teams already once.
Yeah, that is such an advantage. And then you got Tate and Sonnenberg, Sioux Valley Cossacks, that are also back at the state tournament this year. Their team motto is 1, is one.
One person can't make a team, but it can break a team. So that's it. Everybody's pulling the same direction. We've got to mention McKinley Schwab. She has put together a dominant season at the plate. 586, 30 RBIs, 38 runs scored. I mean, her OPS is crazy. She is definitely one of the top players in this tournament and really can lead a charge anytime she's up or due up that inning.
Yeah, and you talk about her batting, and then you look at the pitching side of it, too, a 2.27 ERA, equally as impressive.
Well, that's huge, too, to have a player in the circle who can get it done at the batter's box as well. And she's great, but the rest of the middle of this order has been just really dominant top to bottom in this lineup. There are a lot of players, Morgan Lemmy, Zoe Hemelstead, among others, who have just gotten the job done for the Cossacks.
Yeah, it's a good Cossacks team this year. We've seen some good Sioux Valley teams in the past, and we're going to see another good one up in Aberdeen here this week. Then you got Lennox as the 7 and Elk Point Jefferson as the 8. Both of these teams, you know, obviously tall tasks coming out the gate, you know.
Tough draws.
It is very tough draws. But both of these teams, you know, you look at Lennox, look at how well they've performed in a lot of different sports over the last few years. There's a lot of buildup that's happening in Lennox.
I wonder if they could borrow a few of those track athletes, throw them in as courtesy runners or something, because, they're good, but maybe a little more edge would help. No, this is a team that's been competitive, played a competitive schedule, but it is going to be tough for both of these two teams that have quite a few losses on the regular season to come into the state tournament and knock off one of those top two teams. But I've seen a lot happen in state tournaments. You never know.
All right, so before we get to Class AA, real quick, the streaming and things like that for all of these tournaments is going to take place on SDPB's YouTube channel. We're going to have, obviously, you know, A and B are up in Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. You got AA in Sioux Falls at Augustana. The AA tournament for the championship session will also be included on television. Mm-hmm. So when we kind of go through some of this, there's a lot of factors and things like that go into this and things like that. But the important part is all of the games are going to be streamed on YouTube. And really, with smart TV users, everybody like that, and a lot of the regular season games and stuff like that throughout all of the sports seasons, everything is all on YouTube. It's going to be very accessible for everybody to watch.
It's so nice to be able to tune into YouTube and just check out all the different action and, you know, three tournaments going on at the same time. You can make sure you catch the best games. If you're just a softball fan, which I am, I'll be flipping around.
All right. Class AA. It's going to start with Sioux Falls Jefferson. There's a lot to talk about with this team. I guess the important question I should ask Jandy is, what's the weakest point of this team?
Yeah.
Because when you look through it, you look at the pitching, you look at the depth of the lineup, it is so hard to find a weakness.
First of all, being a defending champ, it takes a lot of focus to be able to come out the next season and do the same thing. This team has done that. They're the only undefeated team in all three of these classes. So they've come from the beginning to the end. They haven't really even had many close games. They've had a couple where it could have went either way at some point, but they felt like they've had control of almost every game. This is a dominant hitting team, which we'll talk about in a minute. Pitching has been remarkable. The field and base running, they really don't have a weakness. And Coach Ed Whiting, he's one of the best coaches out there. He had a chance to talk to me a little bit about what makes this team special.
You know what, they're just a super focused group. It's not very often we have to like get them focused during practice or during a game. They care about each other, they work hard, they hold each other accountable. I don't know, we're really good in the circle and we can hit. So it's really complimentary softball, and they in the end take care of each other.
So that's Ed Whiting talking about his Cavaliers squad. Let's get into some of these individuals that make it up. Let's start with Macy Bryant. I don't even know where to really
start
laughing. Because she's batting over 800.
She's batting over 800 in AA. Yeah, she's played all but two games this year. People don't walk her because she's the leadoff hitter, and the rest of the lineup is so packed and loaded. But the numbers, especially what she's done recently here, are crazy.
Yeah, the last six games, 923.
She's 24 of 26 over her last nine games.
And then her slugging percentage is, 1.884 or something.
Yeah, it's almost 2,000.
Yeah, it's
basically almost
incredible.
Averages getting to second base every time she's up to the
plate. And you saw her play in person here in the Sodexo.
Yeah, I went and watched the Sodexo 16, and You know, I wanted to get a few good shots. It didn't take long. You know, she hit two homers, a double, wasn't put out all game. But the rest of this team has a ton of great hitters. That's why she sees so many good pitches. That top four in the order, everybody's raking over 400. You cannot pitch around the 800 hitter.
Yeah, when you talk about her being the leadoff, that's such an important role. You know, the leadoff hitter, okay?
You can't pitch around him. And Macy Bryan is a great example of that. She sets the table. She drives people in every other time up besides the first time in the game, unless she homers right off the bat, which she does that too. But, yeah, great, great offensive lineup here for Jefferson. And they're not so shabby pitching as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about their pitching too.
Yeah, Taya Devricks. I mean, she's also one of their best hitters in that lineup, but has 68 innings this year, 99 strikeouts, and an ERA under one. And then, you know, she gets some help. You know, they get games where they got big margins, and Mackenzie Bierman will come in, and she also has over a strikeout per inning with her ERA right around two. So,
all right, and then you got the Harrisburg Tigers. All right, Harrisburg, another really good team.
Well, I mean, Harrisburg comes in as the number two seed with a 19-1 record and 19 wins in a row. They lost the very first game of the year to Jefferson, which I know a lot of Class AA, you know, fans that want to see the two best teams survive till Saturday would love to see a rematch of that game, because Harrisburg's playing their best right now. Mm-hmm. For as great as Jefferson has been all season long, Harrisburg's gotten to that point where I think they're right there with Jefferson, and they do it as well with the bats. I mean, maybe even a better 1-9 than Jefferson. That's hard to say. But they have so many good hitters, and it starts with Kennedy Kokinge and Peyton LaFrambois, who has – between the two of them, there's 19 home runs
That's incredible.
And then they've got other hitters, Elise Gross, Leah Knutson, are all hitting right around that 400 mark. So their team is hitting 423 right now. It's so hard to stop that offense. I think that's a team, if they can get some positioning, they can generate runs against anybody, including Jefferson.
Yeah, and their pitching's not too bad either. Kylie Visker is pretty darn good as well.
Yeah, especially over the last three outings, has gone 13 innings, given up just the one earned run, just nine hits. You know, again, another pitcher who's, you know, not necessarily an overpowering pitcher. She's not going to get the same amount of strikeouts that you see from those Jefferson pitchers, but the fielding is awesome. She pitches strategically and has been one of the best in the state.
All right, then you got number three, Sioux Falls, Washington, Kim Bazada and her squad. You know, we just got done talking about Harrisburg. Washington played Harrisburg pretty darn close.
Played him pretty good, and that's the last time they lost. Just, you know, Washington continues to change some of their defensive strategy. They've changed some positioning in the outfield, and they feel with those changes that they've now put themselves in that elite category. And we know they have one of the best pitchers. Maddie Mesher has been unbelievable. 1.58 ERA. A whip under one, well over a strikeout per inning for her as well. And then the lineup is very balanced 1-9. So don't count out Washington. I know a lot of focus is going to go on Harrisburg, Jefferson, but Washington is right there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I think, when you look through all of these classes, is people are always going to talk about some of these top seeds and what they bring to the table. And sometimes these 3, 4, or 5 seeds that have a lot of potency and a lot of potential and that are really hungry, They're here to spoil the party, man.
Well, especially them, because they're looking to avenge those two losses they had to Harrisburg, and, you know, twice to Harrisburg and once to Jefferson. So they've got a little extra motivation in this one. But they've got to get by Stevens in the first game. They handled Stevens last time they played, but they know Stevens is a better team than the last time that they played.
All right, then you got the number four seed in Class AA. It's Brandon Valley. Now, this is a team, too, that has, you know, they've got some experience. They've got some others that are coming up that are getting some well-rounded experience this year. You know, what do you like about this Brandon Valley team?
Yeah, coming into the year, they weren't sure what they were going to get in the circle, but J.C. Myers has really proven to be one of the aces as a sophomore. Didn't have any varsity innings coming into this season. Came in and has just done a great job stepping into that main role. But then they've got a couple other pitchers they can go to if they need to, with Kinsey Kaufman and Ava Lane, in the circle. So they've got, you know, even though they don't have the experience there, they've got a few different pitchers they can go to if they need to. And then hitting wise, this has been one of the biggest hitting teams in the state. And Alexa Harms heading to USF next year is hitting over 400. Anniston Murray hitting over 600. So not another one of these 600 hitters. We've had more 600 hitters than I remember. But as a team, another team that's hitting over 400. So Brandon Valley definitely has the bats.
Yeah, so whenever you have a team that's hitting even 300 as a team, you're in good shape. To have a team that's hitting over 400, I mean, that's just a luxury at that point.
You're putting up a lot of runs. They're running the bases well. They can put runs up in bunches. So that's going to be their strategy as they take on Roosevelt, a team that's going to be a tough out. And John Seitz over there started the season out 0-2 for Roosevelt. They lost to Brandon Valley back in March 31st by 10 runs. But they feel like they're on a roll now.
Yeah, and they haven't lost since May 5th against Harrisburg, the two seed. And we know about Harrisburg. We talked about them. And so basically you go back a whole calendar month and Roosevelt has figured it out. They found some wins and maybe you could say they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, and you talk to a lot of other coaches in Double A and they're going to mention Desiree Hinch as one of the top pitchers. So, you know, Roosevelt has that intimidation factor on going on for them when they're pitching. So that gives them one of those advantages, I think, that helps them play with anybody.
And then you got Rapid City Stevens. We briefly mentioned them earlier. Jeremy Kohlhoff, the head coach there. Okay, so this is a team that kind of slipped a little bit near the end of the regular season, but then they had a win over T in the SODAC and maybe got things back on track for them.
They got it back together just in time. And Adriana Kohlhoff, their sophomore pitcher, has also hit in the middle of that order. She's been a big part of what they've done. But Macy Muth, one of the best leadoff hitters you'll see in the state going at it. One of those players who can get three or four hits in a game, three or four RBIs, and always a threat to score when she gets on base.
We're going to be keeping our eye on those leadoff hitters this week, aren't we?
There's some good ones. There are some really good ones.
All right, then you got O'Gorman. They're the seventh seed. They'll be taking on Harrisburg right out the gate. Ryan Suckup, the head coach there. What do you like about this O'Gorman team?
You know, they're young overall, very young team, but they set some school records as far as their hitting numbers and runs scored, RBIs, triples, homers, total bases. And, you know, after they got through the really tough part of the season early on, you know, they look better than a seven seed coming down the stretch. So, love that they have all their top hitters or juniors, sophomores, or even freshmen, and they're still getting it done and still getting better.
And you got Layla Noonan, right? Okay, so Layla Noonan, a year ago, or a little over a year ago now, she tore her ACL, and she's come back this year, and they like what they're seeing from her.
Well, exactly. They didn't know how much they'd be able to get from her, so they've also thrown London Backus. But they're getting good things from both of those two in the circle. So I think they're in a good shape pitching. Defensively, one of the best defensive teams, especially individually. Kinsley Sheridan does a great job covering center field. And their catcher, Lucy Capel, another tremendous defender.
All right, and then you got the 9 seed. Yes, that's right, it's the 9 seed. Double A does not reseed after the SODAC. Sioux Falls Lincoln has been, you know, their reputation, they've had some incredibly dominant seasons. You know, they had a pitcher by the name of Madison Evans.
Yeah, pretty good.
Who went to USD, and we just saw her on, you know, playing in the NCAA tournament and pitching really well.
Kira Lubovich, an NSIC player already at Augustana. They've got really good players at the next level. But this year, they had to reload quite a bit.
Yep.
So they weren't sure what they were going to get. In fact, they didn't know what they were going to get from the pitching position. Brooklyn Brown has really stepped up as that number one pitcher. A great game in the SODAC 16. If she pitches like that, I think, you know, she's on her way up.
So when you look at Lincoln, okay, see, it's a rebuilding year, right? Or a retooling year, resurgence type of year where you're getting some new players into the mix. The goal is always to be playing your very best and figuring it out right at the end of the year. Do you think Lincoln's doing that?
Well, Trent Bluegosh is one of those coaches who always wants to be playing their best at the end of the year, and he really has that. And some of the senior leaders, Hayden Cock has been unbelievable. She's heading to Jamestown to play next year. But what she's done to be able to hit 10 homers this year, are setting the school record for most in a season at a school that's had, you know, hitters like Paxton Deckers and Kira Lubovich. That says a lot. So they've got some of the top talent still. Can they get a complete team effort to pull off another upset? That's going to be the question.
Again, they're going to have a big task going against the defending champs, the undefeated Sioux Falls Jefferson Cavaliers on Thursday. But you know what? That's what makes it fun. We get to play the games and see what happens.
Like talking, but because you guys have been tuning in, the numbers keep going up as far as our viewership. Thank you, because we get to do this again next year.
Yeah, thank you very much. And again, we look forward to being back next season on Game Time. As always, he's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck. We'll see you next fall.